Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might rescue us from this present evil world according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That portion of God's word which we consider this morning, the Holy Spirit caused the Apostle Matthew to write for our learning and our comfort. We place a special emphasis on these words. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Let us pray. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Amen. The question is whether you want Jesus to come back. If you want him to come back, you are ready for that day. If you don't want him to come back, you aren't ready. If you want him to come back, you know who he is, and he knows you. If you don't want him to come back, you don't know him, and you will hear from him on that day, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you." The end of the church year focuses on the end of all things and Jesus' second coming. And I really do love the church year. It defines my life much more than the calendar year does. And when, you know, this world messes up our church year by starting to celebrate, man, it was like after Halloween this year that they started celebrating Christmas. I read an article, by the way, that listening to Christmas music too early can stress your life out. So now science says it. Okay, science is on my side. But the church year is wonderful because it trains us to think about all of God's acts toward us. And as you know, we come to know God by what he does for us and what he does to us. And what we are waiting for, as we just confessed, is, "And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." So it isn't just that from the right hand of God, where he is now with us, ruling over us, he will come to judge the living and the dead, but also that we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That is, we expect it. We hope for it. The Latin translates it "hope" from the Greek. We hope for it. If you look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, then you are ready. You have faith. You have oil enough in store. If you look to this world for your joy, then you are not ready. You are squandering your faith, and you are running out of oil if you haven't already. The longer I am a Christian, the more I am amazed at the unity of God's word in the scriptures. Now, modern critics try to say that the Bible isn't one unified book. In fact, the Museum of the Bible just came out with a statement saying the Bible doesn't exist as such. There is no one book of the Bible. But they lie. Every book of the Bible speaks the same truth. I just read the story of Hannah and Samuel to my children the other night from 1 Samuel. And it is this story that my mother heard when she was a little girl. And when she heard this story, she started praying for children, and God granted her prayer with many children. But listen to what Hannah sings after he has granted her prayer for a son. Remember that for a long time she was barren, and her husband's other wife, which is another story altogether, was constantly provoking her and mocking her. Listen to what she sings. Mary bases her Magnificat a lot on Hannah's song. "The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness." Hannah knows who Jesus is. He is the Lord. She trusts in him even when he kills, that he will make alive. She isn't afraid of his coming, because he will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silent in darkness. So listen to your mother in the faith. She sings what all the saints know, that Jesus is merciful to poor sinners, that he will preserve his saints, and the wicked will be judged. Hannah had learned in her long days of barrenness to trust in God to give her what she needs. She had learned what St. John teaches us. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the desire of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Hannah had the love of the Father in her. She understood from personal experience that her hope was not in her riches or strength, but in the Lord who kills and makes alive, who brings down to the grave and brings up. This is what those who bring oil with them to wait for the bridegroom know. They know their sins and they know their Savior. They look for the resurrection of the dead when the Lord who brought down to the grave will bring up. They look for it. They want him to come. They are ready because they know who Jesus is. He is their joy. They want to be with him. Do you want to be with Jesus, or do you prefer this world? Now, you've learned in your catechism that the Christian's greatest enemies in this earthly life are the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. The devil teaches you to love the world and the things in the world. The world entices you with her joys and treasures and pride, and your flesh offers no resistance to her allurements. And this is why Jesus says to us, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Watch. Watch out for the devil. He is proud. He lies. He tells you that Jesus isn't coming soon to judge the living and the dead. He tells you that sin doesn't kill you, that you can tolerate it and still be a Christian. He tells you you can ignore God's word, that you can skip church for leisure, and it won't have any bad effect on you or your children. He tells you that you have enough oil. He lulls you to sleep in security and sin. He teaches that false doctrine doesn't matter all that much, that you know enough from your confirmation and don't need to learn anymore. You have enough oil. Your faith is strong. Your family is Lutheran. Don't worry. You don't need to watch all the time. God didn't really say. Watch out for that liar. He murders souls. Watch. Watch out for the world. She is proud. She pretends that her beauty will never end and that she has everything you need. Why be careful to bring more oil when you need room in your hearts and hands for carrying the riches and pleasures and cares of this life? Why speak the truth in love that will only make people mad at you and divide families and disturb the precious peace and security that gives you happiness here on earth? She only repeats the devil's lie. Sudden destruction will come upon her as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and all those who love her will not escape. They will pass away when she does. She doesn't believe the end is coming, but you know that it is. Therefore, do not love the world and her things. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Those who love the world do not want Jesus to come. They like the world the way it is because that is where their treasure is, and so their heart is in what is passing away and will soon be destroyed, as Scripture truly teaches. Watch. Watch out for your own flesh. It is proud. It is your flesh that first believed the devil's lie. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Remember that. Your flesh will think that you can continue in sin without repentance and still have enough oil for when the bridegroom comes. Your flesh believes that you can be a Christian and still love the world and the things in the world. It proudly acts as if Jesus isn't coming for a long time, as if you could know that the day or the hour is far away and you have plenty of time to live like those who love the world. But listen to Jesus speaking so clearly in Luke. "But take heed to yourselves." That means pay attention to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with partying, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, contrary to what many churches in Laramie falsely teach, you can lose your faith. Faith clings to Jesus. But if you are clinging to your sins, living in them without repentance, you have lost your faith. You have run out of oil. If you are proud and think that you don't need to change your life and humble yourself to pray to God and listen to his word, then you have lost your faith. Your oil has run out. You don't know what his coming is and you don't desire it. You desire the world. And the day of judgment will come like a snare and a trap upon you and catch you unaware. When your heart says peace and security, then sudden destruction will come on you. But our mother Hannah did not desire the world or the things in the world. She gave up her only son Samuel to the service of the Lord as she had promised because her true joy was in the Lord Jesus. She watched out for the devil, the world, and her flesh. She repented and believed the gospel. She had oil. They were all virgins, all 10 of them, and they all had lamps. They all for some time had oil. They all looked the same on the outside, but 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Don't trust in your appearances. They were baptized, went to church, were instructed, received the Lord's body and blood, and they had no oil. They had no faith. They abused the promises of God. They loved the world. They didn't want Jesus to come on Judgment Day because they didn't believe that he was coming to them on Judgment Day. They didn't believe that he was coming to them before Judgment Day. They didn't know him. But the poor whom and the beggars whom the Lord raises up from the dunghill to make them sit with princes, they love Jesus appearing. They will love his appearing on Judgment Day because they love his appearing today. They are poor. They are the poor whom God raises from the dunghill. They are those whom God kills and makes alive. They are those who have watched and seen the devil ruin their lives, rob them of every spiritual good in their will, in their emotions, in their intellect, and leave them in unbelief and sin without any power in themselves to get out of the darkness that snake's lie has led them to. God's law has shown them that. It has turned them to watch and see that the joys and riches and pleasures and cares of this world are deceitful, that they promise happiness but only fill their hearts with more worry and more desire for things that don't satisfy. They have watched and seen that the love of the world is passing away and that they are passing away with it. They have watched and seen their own flesh, their body and mind lurch forward to believe things that aren't so, to judge their neighbor when he needed their mercy, to resent God because he gave them suffering, to desire pleasures and pride and riches that destroy them. They have listened to God's law, and it has revealed to them the poverty of their spirits. It has humbled them. It has made them desire something the world can't give. God's law has revealed to the eyes of their heart that they need to watch, but have been blind. And these have seen Jesus come. They have watched and looked to their baptism and saw Jesus coming poor and lowly, but with all the riches of heaven, speaking the truth, not to condemn sinners, but to make them innocent, not to kill us, but to make us alive. They watched and saw God join their sinful bodies and souls to Christ in the water and the word, and they saw a miracle. They saw what Hannah saw. They saw the God they ran away from running towards them, strong and mighty, but looking poor and weak, a baby in a manger. A man who doesn't lift up his voice and cry in the streets, but speaks to those who are tired and burdened with sin they can't get rid of. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And they have found that rest because Jesus came to them with forgiveness for every sin they ever committed. Have you seen Jesus come? Have you knelt at this altar when you had nothing good to give to God, only a heart broken by repeated failure to live up to the love you know you should have, but you can't find it in you? But then Jesus comes, and he brings all of God's love. He gives you the body that was born of the Virgin Mary and that suffered on the cross for your sins and carried in itself all the pain and punishment you deserve. Yes, the body that was judged in your place for all the sins you fear to be judged for. This body he comes and puts in your mouth that your heart may grasp and know that Jesus did not come to condemn the world that denied him, but to save you from the world and give you eternal life in the world to come. Have you seen him come when you didn't think you had any strength to resist temptation, when the road seemed too long, the battle too much, and you can find in yourself only weakness and no strength to carry on? But then Jesus comes and says, take, drink, this is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, and the lack you feel, and the debt you have, and the guilt that burdens you is removed by the blood that is poured on your lips, because your heart has grasped Jesus coming to you to wash you clean again, so that there is no spot on you that God can see. There is only Christ's righteousness, his innocence, and his purity covering everything. And you know that when Jesus comes, the dead are made alive, the poor are lifted up out of the dunghill, and you sit now among the angels and all the saints who have gone before you, whom God provided with more than enough oil to shine here on earth, even when they could scarcely see a flickering wick of faith in their hearts. You have seen Jesus come. He is the one who meets sinners in their need and saves them from the lies of the devil, from the deceit of the world that is passing away, from their own flesh that nags them so constantly. But then Jesus comes, and his word breaks through the darkness with the light that he is, and he crushes the devil's head, overcomes the world, and purifies in his own body the humanity you are. And he promises to come again soon to take you away from all misery, away from the battle, away from the desires of the eyes and flesh and the pride of this life that are all passing away, to give you an eternal inheritance that is unfading and incorruptible, preserved in heaven for you, because your life is hidden with God in Christ. But it will soon be revealed when Jesus comes soon, and you can't wait. You long for his appearing because you know what it means. It means the final redemption of your body from pain and sickness and heartache, the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. No more war, no more fighting, no more addictions, no more broken families, no more lying, no more repenting for your sins because they were forgiven on earth and will be no more in heaven. No more desires that won't be fulfilled, only pure love. Only the love you know in the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. Only Jesus. You get to be with Jesus. He will come and open the gate, and you will be ready with oil. Your heart will leap for joy. He will make you a gladness. You will wake as from a dream and see your Lord come down all glorious, whose grace was made perfect in your weakness, but now with strength you will rise and confess the truth that so mightily kept you in the faith those short years on earth. And you will cry with all the saints what you sang here on earth. Hosanna, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he will come one last time as he came to you in the supper here. But now the supper will have no end. It will be the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom that will have no end. No eye has touched it. No ear has heard it. The pure joy that will fill every fiber of your being, never to be diminished, only to be increased as you fully know the God who fully knew you here on earth and still loved you and always will love you, and you will always love him. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen.